Second scripture for this morning is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Again, picking up where we left off for the first scripture reading in verse 26, reading down to the end of the chapter, verse 31. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we praise and thank you that your word is true and sure. Father, we cry out for wisdom, true wisdom from you. We cry out for the Lord Jesus Christ, more about Jesus. Would we know more of his glory and more desire for him? Father, we just pray for your grace and help and pray that you'd bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'll be preaching the next three Sundays, and for this week and the next week, the same text will be 1 Corinthians 1:30. Pardon my voice, all of a sudden. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The title of the messages will be Christ, the Believer's All. As you can see from that text, if we understand it right, Christ is our all. So this week I'll be focusing on at least wisdom and righteousness, maybe. And then next week, sanctification and redemption. And the following week will be the first Sunday of the month, the Lord's Supper. And I'll figure that out when as I go on. Sorry. But my goal in all these three messages, as Pastor Mark won't be back for 3 weeks, my main goal is that you'll really, really appreciate Pastor Mark when he comes back. So hopefully I'll accomplish that goal. And the church at Corinth was an amazing church. It was a church that the Apostle Paul had planted. And it was a church that the Apostle Paul loved and spent two letters giving them instruction and urging them in many ways. If you look at the Corinthians church, you don't have to read very far to see them definitely called a church, saints, sanctified and called. And that calling there is the powerful, effectual call of the Holy Spirit. They were saved. They were in Christ Jesus. They had the grace of God and peace from God, and it's all that Paul prays for, and he thanks God concerning them. But right away, he deals with issues in the church. They had big problems. They had divisions and quarrels, some saying, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. They were attracted to worldly wisdom. This is the main reason why the Apostle Paul deals with God's wisdom and the world's wisdom. It's because being in Corinth, they were attracted to the philosophies and the worldly wisdom of that great city. And so he needed to refocus them on the cross of Christ and on Christ himself. But they still had many problems. They were acting like mere men in their quarreling and divisions. Sexual immorality was still rampant. They were used to it. That was their lifestyle. And it took a while for it to to get out of their systems and to be, they needed correction in that area. Putting up with someone in the assembly who had his father's wife and they were in so-called love, were not disciplining this one. Goes on to, they were deceived, and Paul wanted them to be undeceived about what true holiness was, but to remind them that they had been washed, they had been sanctified, they had been justified in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had confusion about marriage. What were the roles? What was that all about? They were tempted to go back to idolatry, to worship foolish idols, worldly wisdom, and foolish things. There were brothers and sisters suing one another. Paul had to rebuke them for that, say that they were equipped to judge one another in the church. They were misusing and abusing the Lord's Supper in the church. But what did they need? In all these things, their gifts were wonderful gifts, but again, they were doing it in selfishness and self-righteousness. Thank you. I don't know if it'll help, but and they were, much of their selfishness came out in the use of these gifts. They were using them to aggrandize themselves, and again, tempted to go back, to misuse gifts, unbelief, confusion about the resurrection of Christ. Read chapter 15 and see all Paul has to write about the resurrection of Christ in that chapter. And he wrote that because they were confused. They were unbelieving. They needed to be taught and told about Christ's resurrection of all things. And point, the main thing that Paul is always pointing them to is Christ. The need of Christ and the need to see that Christ is the believer's all in all. And he is. And that's true for us. We have all our problems too. And we have all similar temptations and trials and tribulations, but the answer is the same. Christ is our all in all. He is, needs to be our all in all. And that's the most important thing. Paul writes here in verse 30, but of him, of God, you are in Christ Jesus. Now, not many, too many more Calvinistic verses than that. That tells us the reason why we believe, the reason why we're in Christ. It's because of God, not because we figured it out, not because we were so wise and so lovely and anything or anything else. It is of God. God began the work in us. Holy Spirit regenerated us. The Holy Spirit effectually called. That's why we read over and over again, your calling, brethren. It's not the general call of the gospel that goes out to the whole world, but that effectual calling where God draws us with cords of love to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did the Corinthians, many in the church, and he does for us who know him here. So we truly have been made to, we are of him. You are in Christ Jesus. And being in Christ Jesus, what do we have? We have every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing is in Christ, in union, our union with him. And that's something we need to keep in mind and learn over and over, remind ourselves that we can do nothing apart from Christ. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, but we can do nothing apart from Christ. That's what they needed to hear and learn, and that's what we need to do too. Paul focuses, he begins to tell them who became Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. And here right away we should see wisdom, true wisdom, comes from God. Paul spends a long time here in this first chapter speaking about the comparison between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. After this, in chapter 2, he does the same. He says that it's foolishness and that your faith, he says, by the Spirit would not be in human wisdom. My speech and preaching were not in persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, not charismatic speakers and leaders and people who draw great crowds, but in the power of God. You see, Paul writes that but those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, the power of God and the wisdom of God. It takes the almighty power of God to save a sinner from beginning to end. And Christ is our Alpha and Omega. He begins the work and he ends the work. And we will be with him in the end. So we need God's wisdom. We need to be, even more importantly, taught by God. It's a promise in the new covenant that in Isaiah it says, your children will be taught of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ quotes that verse in John chapter 6. He says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. You can see it's not just knowledge, right? You can see when Paul's speaking here, he's not just, when he talks about wisdom, when he talks about being taught of God, it's not just head knowledge. It's more what we would call heart knowledge or true wisdom. And true wisdom comes from God alone. It's not learning just facts. That's worldly wisdom. People can be extremely knowledgeable, and even of spiritual things. And one of the big deceptions is that it's enough to know your Bible, to learn doctrine, to know the truth. It's not. It's most important to be taught of God so that we would come to Christ. And that's what godly wisdom teaches us. It teaches us about Christ. It teaches us our desperate need of him. True wisdom. God is infinitely wise. And he wouldn't have to share his wisdom. He wouldn't have to work in us if he didn't want to. He doesn't need us. But way back in eternity, God chose to this plan. An all-wise God chose a perfectly wise plan to redeem a people with his own choosing, not because of anything good in us, but merely because he desired to set his love on a number that no man can number, out of every tribe, tongue, nation, and people. In wisdom, he made the worlds and everything in it, and he made man in his own image. And man fell into sin. But God already had a plan in wisdom to redeem people through the one and only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is wisdom, who we need, and to be our teacher, the one we follow. Jesus say, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. We hear his voice in his word. We hear his voice by the Holy Spirit. How desperately we need to be taught of God, taught by the Spirit. Wisdom, natural man's wisdom is useless. Paul writes in chapter 2, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Except, even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have the received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in the words of men's wisdom, which men's wisdom teach, but the Holy Spirit teaches. The Holy Spirit teaches wisdom from God, wisdom from above, comparing spiritual with spiritual. But the natural man, we don't have the Holy Spirit. The natural man, that's us, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. And guess what? They're foolishness. Remember what Paul said. Jews seek a sign, the Gentiles seek wisdom, and all this to them is foolishness. And who can know them? But they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So we need the Spirit of God. We need to be not depending on our own wisdom. In the book of Jeremiah writes in chapter 9, 23 and 24, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, Nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories or boasts glory in this, that he understands and knows me, says the Lord, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. That is what it means to be taught of God, laying aside that worldly wisdom, the pride, the self-righteousness that comes from being a human, for being in a natural state, for not being born again. Spiritual truth, Holy Spirit taught, wisdom from God. But looking back at our text again, you see, he says, of him you are in Christ Jesus. So we're in Christ Jesus. We're united to him and the blessings that come from that. Who, speaking of Christ Jesus, has become for us wisdom from God. You see, the wisdom is personified. It's in Christ. We don't only have wisdom, which is like learning things outside and putting them into us, which we do. We learn, we grow in knowledge, but we have Christ. We have him, and he is our wisdom. So what do we want to know? What do we need to know? We're going to find it in Christ and in Christ alone, through in his word, by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, teaching us. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. That's what we need, and that's what he does. He does that. Christ said, I will send a comforter, and he will lead you into all truth. Truth about what? Wisdom is truth about something, right? It has to do with knowledge. Worldly wisdom is truth about how to make money, how to gain friends and influence people, right? How to become powerful, how to become rich, how to become popular. Those are all things that worldly wisdom can get us and teach us. And what can it get us? It can't tell us where we came from. Worldly wisdom says we came from monkeys or whatever. Godly wisdom tells us God made us. Simplest catechism question, who made you? God made me, right? A child can understand. But when the Spirit of God quickens, even us smart people can understand that and know that. For we believe that, that God made us. It tells us about ourselves, true godly wisdom. Christ reveals to us that we're sinners. We're sinners in need, in desperate need of a Savior. We have sin that we can't atone for. We are helpless. We can't change our hearts. We can't go in and remove the heart of stone and give ourselves a heart of flesh. Only God can do that. True wisdom teaches us that. It teaches us that we're dead in trespasses and sins, that we're in desperate need of forgiveness and a righteousness not our own. We need to be made right with God somehow. And then wisdom teaches us and points us to Christ. It shows us the glory of Christ. The Holy Spirit reveals Christ to our souls. And we flee to him. It teaches us not only who we are, but who God is. And what happens? What is our life all about? Children. Some in the back there. Children. What you need to know is you need to know what your purpose is, what you were made for. You were made by God, you were made for a purpose, and that purpose can only be found in Christ. Your purpose, God can reveal to us. God can give you a life that's an abundant life, but it's only found in Christ. It's only found when you see your need of him and you come to him. Cry out to God, pray to him to give you this wisdom so you see yourself and you see God and all his glory. You see the glory of Christ. And it teaches children that this life isn't all. It teaches that riches aren't that important. Great accomplishments and achievements, as good as they are. It's nice to have money. It's nice to accomplish things, go to good schools, get a good career. But then what? What is life all about? That rich man in Scripture, Jesus taught to build bigger barns. And Jesus said, you're a fool. This day your soul will be required of you. That, children, is what you have to think about. That's the wisdom you need. You're not going to live forever. No one does. And you're going to face God alone with nothing to offer him but filthy rags of your righteous deeds, your righteousness. It's inadequate. On that day, you want to have Christ, to be standing in him. Everybody's in one of three categories. We're either without Christ in this world and unsaved, or we're with Christ in heaven. Or when we're alive, we're in Christ, and that's the place to be. That's where wisdom teaches that we need to be in Christ, we need to stay in Christ, we need to stay fixed and focused on him. It's the true wisdom of God. God declares in Christ is displayed in his true glory in the scriptures. God is a perfect judge. That's another thing of wisdom can teach us. Foolish man thinks he can skirt by, that he can get by with these deeds, and he compares himself to other men. We do that as well, sadly. But God judges, he's going to judge righteously, justly, not ignoring any sin, not winking at it, sweeping it under the rug. It's all going to come to light. Every word, every thought, every action we've done, everything we haven't done is going to come to light on that judgment day. Wisdom is knowing that that's going to happen and then coming to Christ, believing on him and calling on the name of the Lord so that on that day you will not be found naked, standing in your own sins, but you'll be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Paul says, because of who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness. There's wisdom of this world. Again, James gives us a very good testimony of what worldly wisdom is like. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good conduct that these works are done in the meekness of wisdom. One of the keys to being wise, truly being wise, is humility. That's what the word means there. It means in the meekness of humility, in meekness and humbling. God looks upon the one who repents, who is lowly, who trembles at the word of God. That's true wisdom. But the wisdom of the world, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. In other words, it doesn't come from God. It comes from us. It's our wisdom, our selfish self-righteousness. The wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly. It's of this earth. It's of man. It's sensual. Everything is pleasure. What feels good temporarily must be good. That's worldly wisdom. It's not. And it's demonic. Ultimately, the source of the worldly wisdom is the devil. Just like in the Garden of Eden, they had everything, and he deceived them. He said, God is withholding some wisdom from you. You can know good and evil. You can know something that God is keeping from you. And it's the same today. We want to find wisdom apart from God. You cannot find wisdom, true wisdom, apart from Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is wisdom. Read Proverbs 8. Wisdom is speaking to you there, especially young people. Parents, read Proverbs to your children. It's a father speaking to a son. It's wisdom crying out in the streets. You need to know what you don't know and how to learn what you need to know. He says, for every envy and self-seeking exists, confusion, every evil thing are there. But wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Wisdom, true wisdom, is learning how to live in the most wise way in order to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. It teaches us what we need to do. It's not just knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge, there are people, as we read in 2 Timothy 3:7, always learning. There are people who are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Always. Don't be one of those people who are satisfied with learning and more doctrine and more thing. Particularly, this is the danger in the church. We can be satisfied with knowing truth, but if that truth does not work in us, that's not wisdom. It's when the truth gets in, Christ works and teaches us in the inner man, and we know good from evil. We know that it's worthless to pursue the riches of this world. We know that this world is temporary. Now we know that we need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We know it from Scripture. We're little by little by little growing in our knowledge of Christ and by His grace. We're little by little growing. In Colossians, Paul prays, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." It's knowing what God wants us to do and agreeing with God in His Word and then being able to do it. For it's God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. That's the wisdom we need. Not just knowledge, but to know and to be able to do it, to want to do it. That's true wisdom. Wisdom that is from above. Colossians 2, 2 and 3, "In their hearts may be discouraged, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining to all riches and full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mysteries of God, both of the Father and of Christ, Christ in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge." All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, true wisdom and true knowledge, are in Christ. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly," in chapter 3, 16, "in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Spiritual wisdom in the Word. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. It'll be working in us, not just up here, but working in us to change us, to conform us to the image of Christ. It's what the work of the Holy Spirit is. Christ sends the Spirit, gives the Spirit. Timothy, 2 Timothy writes, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures." Children, you've known it from the time you were born. You've heard it, thankfully, from your Christian parents. You've heard it over and over again. You sat in church hearing it over and over again. Did it give you wisdom? Did it change you? Did it make you hate your sin and desire to have Christ, to love Christ? That's the wisdom you need, and it comes through the Scriptures, through the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures. "From childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise," not in this world's wisdom, "wise unto for salvation through faith which is in Christ." That's true wisdom. That's the best wisdom, is to make you wise for salvation. You need to be saved. Sinners need to be saved, young and old. You need Christ, and the salvation comes through the Word, by the Spirit, blessing that Word to make us wise unto salvation. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, breathed out by God. God breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Remember, it's not just going to fill our heads with knowledge. It's going to teach us to obey, teach us to love His commands, teach us to walk in wisdom so that others will see and others will know that we belong to Christ, that the man of God may be complete. We don't need any new information, new revelations, nothing. We have it all in the Bible. And it's enough to make us complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Nothing more is needed. That's the wisdom from above that we need. And again, the greatest display of God's wisdom is seen in Christ, but particularly in the cross of Christ, in the sacrifice of Christ. The glory and the wisdom of God is seen in that sacrifice, in the plan of salvation, but particularly it's like a laser point on the cross where you see the Son of God, fully God and fully man, bearing the wrath of God, not for his own sins, but for the sins of others, who bore our sin in his body on the cross. That displays the wisdom of God. It was purposed and planned by the Father, by the Son of God, Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit from before the foundation of the world, planned and purposed in our all-wise God. God is infinite in wisdom, but we see it best when we look to Christ, when we look to the cross, and we need to continue to do that. It's not a one-time looking and believing and trusting. It's continuing to look, continuing to come, continuing to cling to Christ as our all in all. John Gill writes, "Who God has made unto us wisdom, though they are foolish creatures in their own and worldly esteem, yet Christ is their wisdom. He is so efficiently the author and cause of all spiritual wisdom and understanding in divine things they are possessed of, and he is so objectively to their highest wisdom lying in the knowledge of his person, his blood, and his righteousness. He is their head in whom their wisdom lies. He acts for them as their wisdom to give them a mouth and a wisdom which their adversaries are not going to have. Having the tongue of learning, he speaks a word in season to them when weary and distressed and discouraged for them in the court of heaven. He speaks for us. Christ ever lives to intercede for us in the court of heaven on high, the throne of God." What an amazing truth. And the consequences of their being in Christ as their head and representative, he has become to them wisdom. Christ has become to us wisdom from God. James Smith writes, "True wisdom or real religion is, as it stands, the knowledge and the fear of God." The beginning of wisdom is the knowledge, is the fear of God. Who can teach you to fear God? God alone can teach you to fear him, not to be afraid of him. We can be afraid of God by nature without God's Spirit. But the true fear and love, which includes love for God, God alone can teach that. Give us that wisdom, which we desperately need. Knowledge of Christ. He is the Savior. He saves all who put their trust in him. Everyone who knows him, trusts in him, and is saved by him. No science is to be compared to the knowledge of Christ. It is never perfect, but will be forever capable of increasing. We'll be learning about Christ for eternity and in glory. And it leads, this knowledge of Christ always leads to union with Christ. When we come to him, we're united to him, and we see that we have every spiritual blessing, and then it leads to conformity to Christ. We won't want to be the same. We don't want to be what we are by nature anymore. We want Christ to change us. The Holy Spirit does. He begins the work of conforming us to the image of Christ. Through wisdom, through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, we learn, we grow, and we change little bit at a time. More and more growing, being able to bear fruit, conformed to the image of Christ, receiving his Spirit, and that one day we'll know him in full. We'll be with him. That's the glory of the gospel. It's the glory that Christ alone can give. He can save, he can change, and he does. He forgives, he washes all of our sins away. He gives us a righteousness, not our own. Close us with that righteousness so we're fully justified and we're guaranteed to make it to the end. We're guaranteed to be there in Christ, with Christ, for all eternity. I had planned to go on to righteousness, but it seems like I've gone far enough. And that's a little bit of wisdom to know when to stop. But it's enough, hopefully, to chew on and to digest. And It's true, the Holy Spirit alone can teach us these things, not just give us more knowledge. Remember the people, sadly, that are always learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Please, if you're here this morning and that's you, God reveals that that's you. Don't think you can change yourself. Don't think that if you come enough times to church, somehow it will happen by osmosis. You need to cry out to God to change you, to enable you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Children, I plead with you, don't let these words go in one ear and out the other. Older people, there's corny sayings, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That would be true, apart from God, right? There's no fool like an old fool. And we're foolish enough, even if we're in Christ. But we need Christ. We need the wisdom of God. We need to be born again. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us, to lead us into all truth. And all that is in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for your goodness. We pray for your glory and thank you for your word. And Father, we do thank you for salvation in Christ and Christ alone. Thank you, Father, that because of you, we are in Christ Jesus, who has become to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and glorification. Father, we thank you for our redemption and thank you that that will be complete in glory. Father, we just pray for your glory and none for us, Father. We pray that you'd be glorified in what we've heard today and that you would work. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.